How do works and obedience relate to eternal salvation? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently answering questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message at radio@faithalone.org. That's our email address. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar with Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
And we're taking Bob Wilkin.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure about it was the right Bob.
Okay.
Well, we're taking your questions today at radio@faithalone.org. Keep on sending them to us. Easy, hard. Some people ask us about kind of weird things. Someone actually asked if we could recommend a lawyer somewhere in Wisconsin.
No,
and
I
really can't. I've never been to Wisconsin, and I don't know anything about lawyering. So don't ask us those questions, but you can ask us Bible questions. And also, sometimes people ask us what kind of job they should take in life. That's not really what we do. But we'll answer your Bible and theology questions. So send those questions to radio@faithalone.org. All right, Tim has a question. Tim writes, and he has a question about A.W. Tozer. And I know that name, but I don't really know Tozer.
He wrote Knowledge of the Holy and a number of other books. Very godly man, but he tended toward a strong lordship salvation position.
Okay, well, that's what's going to come out here. So he quotes Tozer saying, "To escape the error of salvation by works, we have fallen into the opposite error of salvation without obedience." So from a layman's perspective, this is what Tim writing. He says, "I see Tozer's statement as an admixture of truth and error. We are saved without works, but we cannot be disciples without obedience. Am I correct in my analysis?" So first of all,
this could be a real short show. The answer is yes.
Yes,
let's move
right
on to the next question.
Well, just think about this, what Tozer says. Let me read it again. "To escape the error of salvation by works, we have fallen into the opposite error of salvation without obedience." Okay, what's the difference between salvation by works and salvation by obedience? Tozer seems to think that there's a difference.
Well, I think he says salvation without obedience.
Yeah, so he says there's two errors, salvation by works and salvation without obedience. So what's the difference?
Well, it seems to me what he's trying to say is that the opposite error to salvation by works is someone saying you can be saved and do absolutely nothing for God, which of course you can.
Right.
But he seems to be saying that that's what this person would be promoting is licentiousness.
Mm.
And that's not what we promote. In fact, as Tim says, we are called to holy living. And if we don't do it, God disciplines us.
Right, but it's not a salvation issue.
It's not a salvation issue. It's a sanctification issue. It's a blessing issue. If we want God's blessings in this life and, of course, in the life to come, well, then we need to be obedient.
Right.
And it'd be kind of like saying, okay, let's say that Tim has 5 children.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to his 5 children, okay, you're all members of our family, regardless of what you do.
Right.
You're always going to be members of our family. You're secure in our love. Mm-hmm. You're accepted by your mom and me.
Yeah.
However, if you do not live in the way in which we teach you to live, if you do not follow the teachings that we give you and you are not obedient,
mm-hmm,
then we will not be pleased with you and we will not approve of you.
Right.
And if you want our blessings and you want our approval, then you need to obey us.
Mm-hmm.
That's an accurate position.
Right.
But to say, if you don't obey us, then you're not one of our children,
right,
that would be heresy.
Right.
That's more or less what some people get into. And it's not crystal clear what Tozer means by that statement. But I think, based on other reading I've done with Tozer, is he saying, look, you can't have everlasting life without being obedient.
Right, right. So obedience gets part of the condition of salvation, not the condition of spiritual maturity. And you're saying, listen, obedience is important, but we're justified by faith apart from works.
Right.
You need that obedience for something else, for spiritual maturity, for fellowship, for blessing, for eternal rewards, for laying up treasure in heaven.
Right. And even though hypothetically a person might not obey God at all, might be born again and never do anything for God, in reality, that doesn't happen. I remember Zane Hodges wrote an article, and he said, I categorically deny that there's such a person that comes to faith in Christ and does zero good works. And in fact, I've said before, I don't even think there's an unbeliever that lives that hasn't done good works. Seems to me everybody does some good works, and the Lord said something like that when he said, look, everyone is going to provide for their children the food and clothing and shelter unless they're a horrendous parent.
Right.
Well, those are all good things, but that doesn't mean that their life is characterized by godliness and goodness.
Right.
And you can be a believer and do some good things, but yet not be one who is walking in fellowship with God.
Mm.
In order to walk in fellowship with God, you ultimately need to be one who is confessing Christ, which primarily is going to our local church and identifying with other Christians, and also one is obedient. So I'm with Tozer, we should be obedient, but that's not a condition of the new birth or a guarantee of the new birth.
Mm. Here's a question from Daniel, who's reading So Great Salvation by Charles Ryrie. And Charles Ryrie was there at your ordination and preached your ordination
right.
sermon, I
right. believe. Yeah, right. He was one of my faculty members and a friend of mine.
So Ryrie, this is how Daniel characterizes Ryrie's position in that book. He says, he states that sin is the issue that keeps a man from being forgiven. But the good news, gospel, is that Christ died for our sins. But then I was listening to Zane Hodges earlier, and he states that the issue is man's rejection of Jesus, and that's what keeps a man from having eternal life or salvation. This is closer to what I believe Jesus took away, the sin issue and the wrath of God at the cross. So is it a sin issue or a rejection issue? In salvation, is it a sin issue or a rejection issue? That's a question we've handled before.
Right. That's a big issue in what we call free grace circles.
You're right.
There are some people in free grace circles who argue that until you believe in substitutionary atonement, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, then you have a sin issue.
Right. So it's like Jesus takes your sin upon himself, potentially. He takes it, but you don't get that benefit. You potentially get that benefit, and you only get it once you, usually they say you have to repent and believe, or repent slash believe. This is kind of a change of mind thing. And
right.
then when you repent, then your sin issue is dealt with.
Right. And other free grace people like Zane Hodges and myself and the Board of Grace Evangelical Society and those who speak and write for Grace Evangelical Society, we all say, no, the issue is not our sin, because that was actually taken care of at the cross.
Right.
That when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't potentially take away the sin of the world. He actually did it. John 1:29, 1 John 2:2. So that the good news of the cross is that no one is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because of their sin. The only reason anyone's going to the lake of fire is because their name's not found in the book of life, Revelation 20, verse 15. And in order to have your name found in the book of life, it's as simple as just believing in Jesus Christ.
So we're talking to a pastor from Florida a few weeks ago. We had breakfast with him. And he used this illustration of Jesus taking your sins upon himself. But then if you don't accept, you know, if you don't trust in, I think is the language he used, if you don't trust in what Jesus did, then those sins go back onto you. And that's why you go to hell. And you're saying you don't believe that.
No. Lewis Berry Chafer, who was the founder of Dallas Seminary in 1924, he used to say, because of the shed blood of Christ, we no longer have a sin problem, we have a son problem. And that's a kind of a shift in one letter, from sin to son. And he said the issue now in evangelism is, what do you do with the Son of God? Do you believe in him or not? And what did Danny say about Zane Hodges?
Zane Hodges states that the issue is man's rejection of Jesus.
That's so, what, see, there's yeah. the son.
Yeah.
Rejection. So the issue is the Son of God, do you believe in him for everlasting life
right.
or not? The issue is not, okay, I have a sin problem and somehow I have to deal with my own sins.
Right. So if people don't go to hell because of their sin, then why do they go to, you know, or the lake of fire? Then why do they go to the lake of fire eternally? You know, most churches will teach, well, it's because you're paying for your sin and your sin had incurred an infinite debt with God, and so now you are paying for this sin in hell, but what would you say?
No, I would say that the point of Scripture is that because of the fall of Adam and Eve, then lacking everlasting life was a fatal flaw. And if a person who doesn't have everlasting life goes to the grave, well, they're never going to have everlasting life. And so the people who are in the Book of Life are people who have everlasting life. And Revelation 20:15 says, anyone's name not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So the issue is not sin, because that's all taken care of at the cross. The issue is, do I have everlasting life? And so when we evangelize, we can say, look, Jesus is taking care of your sin problem, but you're dead. You need life. You believe in Jesus, you get everlasting life. Mm-hmm. And the moment you believe in him, you've got it once and for all.
Right. Do you think sins, though, kind of come up at all, like in the lake of fire? I mean,
well, yes. In Revelation 20:11-15, it says, books were opened, and these were books of deeds, and then the book was opened, the book of life. The condition of going to the lake of fire is if your name's not in the book. But how extreme their torment will be is determined by what's in the books. Okay. And those books include all their works. Now, their works won't be judged as sins. They'll be judged as works. But since bad works result in greater degree of torment, and sins are bad works, well, then they're going to receive degrees of torment based on their sins.
So is that a punishment, though? Are they being punished for their sins? Or
well, some people would call it punishment. I would call it the result of a judicial judgment, that God judges their works and determines this is the amount of torment they have earned. Hmm. In the same way, at the judgment seat of Christ, every believer will be judged according to our works, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. But we're going to receive reward depending on the quality of our works.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. If that has raised any questions for you, as I'm sure it probably did, send us those questions at radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about Romans 10, 9, and 10, so you're going to want to tune in. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.